Well, we want to get our third session, as Jeff said, and we want to talk about spiritual disciplines, and we want to focus on prayer in this time together. It was the revered Puritan commentator, Matthew Henry, who wrote this in his work called A Method for Prayer. He said, quote, "You may as soon find a living man who does not breathe as a living Christian who does not pray." End quote. And so prayer is vitally important, just like scripture reading is for the believer, so is prayer. So to begin with, we probably need to just ask the question, well, what is prayer? What's the definition for prayer? And I can think of no better definition than question 98 of the Westminster Catechism. The answer to what is prayer is this, quote, "Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will in the name of Christ with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies." End quote. So, prayer is really two things. It's not only an action. We often think of the action of praying, but prayer really is an attitude. It's an attitude of dependence upon God. So, as we begin this morning talking about prayer, I just want to start off with just asking the questions, what does the Scripture say about prayer? And the first thing that we see in Scripture about prayer is this, that prayer everywhere is always commanded, and really it's always assumed as well. You guys read Matthew chapter 6 this morning, the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord outlines there how to pray in what has traditionally been called the Lord's Prayer. I think it would be better called the Disciples' Prayer because the Lord is teaching them, giving them a model of prayer. And so in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, it says this. It starts off this way. It starts off, "And when you pray." So it starts off with a command to pray. It starts off with the assumption of prayer. "And when you pray," see, there's the expectation, "you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Now listen, "but you, when you pray," again, the assumption a second time, "but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray," again, a third time, "and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray." Not a command to pray so much as a way of praying. In this manner, this is how you should pray. You're praying already, and this is how you should be praying. If you think about it, if you think about maybe some of our prayer lives and how they go, and sometimes how they're, you know, really non-existent. I mean, would the Lord have had to say this to you? Would the Lord have had to give you instruction on how you ought to be praying as you're already praying? Or would He have to start off going back further and say, "You need to be praying. And once you start praying, this is how you should pray"? Sadly, I think for a lot of believers, that's the case. That we're just not praying. We're just not responding to God. And so there's the assumption to pray. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and through 18, the Apostle Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So here Paul exhorts us to be joyful and to be continually praying, to be continually giving thanks in all circumstances. And the reason we do this is because this is God's will for us in Christ. This is His will for us. So listen, prayer is not an optional activity for believers. Prayer is vital to us. It is God's will that we meet with Him in prayer and that we do it continually that we do it without ceasing. This is what he says. Now, prayer is not something to be approached just, begrudgingly. Well, I've been commanded to do this thing. I went to this retreat. It's a spiritual discipline. I need to pray. No, we can't have that attitude. Listen, prayer is like a royal invitation. It is a royal privilege. It is a great privilege. Imagine this, okay? And this is near and dear to my heart right now, this little illustration, because my gutters on my house are wanting to come out and come off, okay? But imagine this. Listen, I'm not a mechanical guy. I mean, I do know the difference between a regular head screwdriver and a Phillips, so I've got that far. But you get me beyond that, and I'm in the danger zone. I'm going to tear something up. So this illustration is near and dear to my heart. But think about it. What if you, let's put you guys out about 10 years ahead. You've got your own house. You've got your own family. And so there are issues going on in your house. Things that need to be repaired. Things that need to be corrected. Now, what if you could have one of these guys? Do you guys ever watch any of these DIY shows? You got these guys who just, and females now, I've seen that there's a show, with a mom and daughter, group who are rebuilding houses and things like that. But imagine if for the problems you have in your house, like mine, my gutter's kind of wanting to come off of the side of my roof. Imagine if I could call Bob Vila or these guys who work on this old house or Norm Abrams or some of these guys and say, can you come help me? Can you come fix my gutters? I mean, that would be amazing. These guys would do it. They would do it great. They would probably do a perfect job and they would have it done for me. Well, why in prayer do we take the opposite attitude? Where we don't pray, we're faced with life, we're faced with issues that we have to deal with, that we have to sort out, but yet somehow we're ready to run headlong into these things thinking that we have the resources to deal with them. And yet we've got someone who can easily go before us and help us with these things, and yet we don't ask him. Like the answer to the catechism says, we don't lift up our desires. Prayer is lifting up our desires according to his will. And we don't lift up our desires. We don't ask him to help. That would be a foolish thing if you did that in your house. And you could have a master carpenter come and fix your carpentry issues. And yet you don't pick up the phone to call him. People would call you a fool for doing that. And how foolish are we when we neglect prayer? The Apostle Paul writes, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, in whom, that's Christ, in Christ we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. He goes on to say, verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of the redemption and the reconciliation that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. So do we realize the awesome privilege that we have in Christ to approach God and to be able to do it in freedom, to be able to do it in confidence? This is how we come before God, not based on our merits, but based upon what Christ has done for us. So are we making good use of this privilege? That is the question. So, first of all, about prayer, what does the Bible say? It is commanded. It is assumed. Second thing, it is grasped. It is grasped. In other words, what I'm trying to say here is prayer is learned. Prayer is understood more and more and more as we grow spiritually. Really, in one sense, prayer should just be as normal as a child breathing, in one sense. But yet, in another, we just grow in our ability to pray and how we pray. Through the teaching that we hear, through the practice that we engage in, we learn more. We learn how to be more biblical in our prayers. Listen, this is even why the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. So they were saying, they were coming to the Lord and said, Lord, you be the teacher, we're going to be the learners, and we need to learn how to pray. So will you teach us how to pray? So see, it's grasped, it's understood. We grow in our understanding. So if we can be trained in prayer, how do we go about being trained in prayer? Well, number one, I would submit this to you. We're trained just by doing it. We're trained by praying. You think about it, whenever you're trying to learn something that you need to incorporate your life into your life in a very practical way, say you're trying to learn a foreign language, you're going to go travel somewhere and you need to be able to communicate, or say you're learning a musical instrument. Listen, you can read all the books in the world on it. You can read every book that has ever been published on the Mandarin language because you're going to go take a trip to China. But if you have not put learning the actual language into practice, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You can read every book on the saxophone, and if you have not learned how to play it and you have practiced it, it's going to be for naught. And so if we want to learn how to pray, what should we do? We should what?
That's right.
Pray, practice, exactly. Practice prayer. We should pray. And that's exactly what the Puritans said. They said, we should pray until we pray. This is the advice they gave. So what did they mean, we pray until we pray? They meant this. They meant that you needed to pray long enough. You needed to stay in that prayer session long enough so that you will get past the formality, you will get past the sort of feeling of formalism. Their word they used was illusoriness, meaning sort of an unreality type thing, just a sort of kind of bordering on rote, but just formalism. You need to get past that, they said. If you think about it, and if you really think about it in a practical way, how we pray, a lot of times our prayers start out that way. They start rather cold, sort of. They start rather formal. But as we continue in prayer, God just does a wonderful thing. He warms our hearts and our minds become more lively. So now certain connections are starting to be made and informing us in how we should pray. And this all goes along even more and more as we continue in prayer. So our praise and our thanksgiving, those things just become more heartfelt. Our petitions, our supplications, they become more urgent. D.A. Carson, in his excellent book titled Praying with Paul, A Call to Spiritual Reformation, he writes this, quote, "To enter the spirit of prayer, we must stick to it for a while. If we pray until we pray, eventually we come to delight in God's presence, to rest in His love, to cherish His will." So, what is one way we're trained in prayer? It's just by praying. What's another way? We're trained by listening to others pray. Listening to other people pray. We can be trained by listening to the godly examples of other believers. We should listen to them pray. We should listen to the content of their prayers. We should listen to what they're praying for. We should even listen to how they're praying. Their passion, their urgency, their zeal. Not in order to try to mimic that or just sort of in a fake way imitate that, but to just understand the whole package that they bring to prayer. Not only what they're praying, but how they pray. So what are some of the practical ways we can learn to pray from other people? I've just got a couple here. Number one, by developing a prayer partner relationship. This is another thing I read in D.A. Carson's book, Praying with Paul. He said this. He said when he was an undergraduate, he got with a pastor and they would regularly meet for times in the Word and times in prayer. And he said the way that pastor prayed informed his prayer life to the point that it still informs it even to this day. And so what a strong influence that is. So we can learn how to pray not only by praying, but by praying with other people as well. A second way we can learn prayer is by choosing good models of prayer. Choosing good models. How do we identify that? How do I identify what a good model is? Well, they pray biblically. They pray with great seriousness. They pray with passion. In other words, it's not just mundane. And there's urgency in their prayers. They understand the privilege that they have been granted. They understand the privilege that they're engaging in. And not only that, but in the content of their prayers, they use arguments. Now, I'm not saying you argue with God, but what you're doing is you're praying the promises of God. You're laying those promises out before Him. And with some people, it's as if you're carried into the very throne room of God when you hear them pray. Others are especially gifted, I would say, in their prayer life and interceding for other people. You still have other people, and this is where I know in my personal prayer life I'm trying to stretch. Normally my vision and my eyes are very horizontally, you know, centered. And I don't have great vision in my prayers. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, for instance, William Carey, that great quote he had, quoted in the Baptist Herald in 1842, he said this: expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And in my own prayer life, I'm trying to incorporate that in my prayer, the expectation of greater things from God. Not having low prayers, but having big prayers that I'm praying for God, because He's a big God, right? And so I'm asking God, you know, do these big things. Whereas before, I wouldn't do that. That would be very, very sort of low type prayers. Honestly, if you want to, I mean, to be honest, they were prayers in which I thought, well, you know, I can handle these things. I can kind of help God in these things. But no, these huge prayers. You have some people who pray like that, and it encourages me. It helps me to be able to pray that way. So, where do we find examples? If we're going to pick good models of prayer, where do we go to find them? Well, number one is the Word of God. That's your primary. Go to the Word of God. Read the prayers in Scripture. And then number two, the Lord's Day. Lord's Day morning services, evening services. This is where your pastor, the one whom God has called and placed and installed in that pulpit, is praying. And listen, as he does, you remember I told you the other day, or I think it was around our campfire last night, I told you that all of the worship service is not about worship to God, but it's all about teaching too as well. Well, that's true even when we pray. When your pastor prays, he's not only lifting up petitions and supplications and confessions and all of that before God, but as he prays, you ought to be listening to your pastor pray. And there really should be a sense in which you just find yourself, maybe without even knowing, like, hey, I'm like starting to sound like my pastor when I pray, when I have my times with God. In other words, the things he prays for, the things, the maybe the way he prays, how biblical he prays, I'm starting to pray like that. And that's purposeful, because as he prays, he's praying, but it should also be instructive to the congregation. This is how you pray. This is how you pray to God. Another thing is good books. Just read good books. Again, The Valley of Vision, I would commend you that each one of you have a copy of that. Each one of you have a copy. When I go to, in my prayer time, I've got three books I have with me. I have my Bible. I have Hymns of Grace, which has just been put out by Master's Press. And I have the Valley of Vision. And boom, and I'm blocked off, you know, for a minimum of half an hour. Some days it's more than that. But these are the three things I have. And so I want to read how those guys prayed, how the Puritans prayed, because they'll just lift your heart up to God. And so, good books, Valley of Vision, Praying with Paul, that's another good book to help you learn how to pray, by D.A. Carson. Christian biographies, listen, Read the Banner of Truth biographies. I know they're big books. I know they're thick. But listen, if you just discipline yourself, okay? 700-page book. If you read 10 pages a day, you can read 700 pages in a little over 2 months. And I mean, that's a book this big. Some of you say, I can never read that. And just 10 pages. And you could probably read more than 10 pages a day, right? You could probably blow through 10 pages in about 10 minutes. And so, these books, read how Spurgeon prayed. Read how Lloyd Jones would pray, where he would go to pray, how he would pray. All of these things are instructive. And then not only are we trained by praying and trained by having good models, but we're trained by, especially, this is primary, meditating on the Word of God. This is what is most important. In our Christian life, we obey the Word, we hear the Word, preach and talk, we pray the Word. And in praying this way, what we're doing is we're connecting the spiritual disciplines of Bible reading with prayer. And the English Puritans understood this well, this role of meditation and prayer. Listen to what Thomas Manton wrote. Now, I didn't read this in Manton. I read it actually in an article that Joe Beakey and Mark Jones had written called The Puritan Practice of Meditation. But listen to this. This is what they say. Quote, "Meditation is a middle sort of duty between word and prayer. The word feeds meditation, and meditation feeds prayer. These duties must always go hand in hand. Meditation must follow hearing and precede prayer," meaning hearing from the Word of God, "and precede prayer. To hear and not meditate is unfruitful. It is rashness to pray and not to meditate. What we take in by the Word, we digest by meditation and let out by prayer. These three duties must be ordered that one may not jostle out the other." End quote. So, what is the one vital thing that we do to improve our prayer lives? It is to read the Word of God. And then after having read the Word of God, meditate. You say, what is meditation? It's just, listen, it's just simply taking the truth that you read and just let that thing swish around in your mind. Let it just percolate. Let it brew. Let the Holy Spirit do His work of taking that truth and bringing it down into the areas of your life where it needs to be. And then when you have all of that together, I have the truth, I have the meaning of the text, I understand what God is saying, and I understand now by meditation what He's saying to me. Well, now what do I do? I what? I pray, right? I pray. I lift these things up to God. So let me just conclude real quick by just saying, giving you this. What are just some practical aids to prayer? Just a handful here. Number one, I talked about this before, plan to pray. Cultivate a habit of prayer. Set aside time to pray. And listen, if it comes down to you either praying a long time and you're seriously at risk of not praying at all because of that, or praying short, brief prayers at various times throughout the day, pray short, brief prayers. Because you don't want to be prayerless, okay? So do that. And listen, redeem the time. We're to be praying constantly. Redeem the time. Pray as you're waiting for things. Pray as you're going somewhere. Listen, we live in a day and age where technology has almost made that impossible. We've got these bricks we carry around in our pockets that command our attention, okay? We have to say no to those things. Take the 10 minutes you have here. Take the 5 minutes you have here. Take these times to pray. So, plan to pray. Second one is find ways to maintain concentration. Try vocalizing your prayers. That's what I've been trying to do recently. I think Jeff told me last night that he's thinking about doing it. Vocalizing prayers, vocalizing our scripture reading. That's so helpful. It helps maintain your concentration as you pray. Also, pray through the scripture. Go through the Lord's Prayer. See the different segments of how to pray there, and pray those in relation to your own life. Pray Paul's prayers. All the prayers Paul prayed in regard to the church. Pray for your church. Pray for the church. And the Psalms, you know, we talked about them. Pray the Psalms. Pray over what you read in Scripture. Pray even through hymns of praise. Praise hymns that are bringing out the Word of God. And then there's also journaling to pray as you're actually writing down and writing out your prayers. Some people are greatly advantaged praying that way. And then also this, have a system for prayer. I know in addition to just me wanting to pray God's Word to Him and pray through God's Word, I'll also have our membership directory right next to my Bible and my hymn book and my Valley of Vision. And so what I do at the end of my prayer time, before I conclude, is I pray for members of our church. And I may pray for one, if they've got a lot of needs. I may pray, get through three or four or five, maybe, if it's just a couple of needs each. But, you know, you're making supplication for them. You're interceding for them. And as I go through, I just put a little check mark. I start off with the members whose names end with A, and I just go straight through them. And where I left off, I'll just put a little mark, a little annotation. And then the next day when I pick up, I'll know to start with the next member. And then I'll go through. Maybe pray for one, two, three. Wherever I stop on that member, put a little mark, and I know to pray, start praying the next day for the next member. So have some type of system. Use a prayer list. Write down things that you need to be praying for. Write them down during the day. The way I do it for myself is if I'm away from my desk in my study, I text it to myself. If I run across someone who has needs, something I need to be praying for, I just shoot myself a text, you know, pray-, and I'll write very succinctly what it is. And then I'll get home and I'll put it on my prayer list. Now, our church has a prayer list that we put out and we pray over every Wednesday night. But this is this is my personal prayer list that I try to also incorporate into that. So you can do that. Some people, I've heard of this, some people organize prayer categories throughout the days of the week. So they'll take Monday and they'll say, Monday I'm going to pray for the salvation of my lost friends, lost family members. And so Monday they'll do that. Tuesday, I'm praying for sanctification. I'm praying that my friends in Christ will be strengthened in the Lord, that they'll grow in holiness, that they'll pursue holiness, that they'll be killing and mortifying sin in their lives. Wednesday, temptation. I'm praying for myself and my friends that we will be able to say no to temptation, that we'll be strengthened by the Word of God to do that. And then, you know, you just go down the line. You know, Thursday maybe for health issues, people in your church, and maybe Friday just for your church in general. So just praying for all of these things. So that's why we have to pray. That's why we have to pray. Now let me give you just a quick two book recommendations here. And I would really encourage you to get these books because you know what? The best reason of all, they're small. They're small. In fact, they're not even small books. They're tiny books. Tiny books. But they are so wonderful. The first book I would recommend is by Joel and James Beakey. I believe James is his brother. I'm not entirely sure about that. But it's called Developing a Healthy Prayer Life, 31 Meditations on Communing with God. This book tells you exactly what we've been talking about, how to have a healthy prayer life, a prayer life that is edifying to you, that is pleasing to God. I highly, highly recommend it. And it's just about that thick. So it's just a little bitty thing. It's just 31 meditations, okay? And then the other book is another small little book, Don Whitney. I think it was put out last year or maybe the year before. And it's called Praying the Bible. And that's what you want to be doing in your prayers. It's not all that you want to be doing, but it is a very major part of what you want to be doing in your prayer life is praying the Word of God back to God. As you read the Word, as you understand the truth of the Word of God, you're turning that around and asking God, you're putting that in request form, petition form. You're praying the Word of God back to Him. So, may the Lord help us all in our prayer lives, right? Because if there's any discipline, spiritual discipline, that's the hardest, I would say this is the one. This is the one. This is the one where you can spend 30 minutes in prayer. You sit down for 30 minutes. 30 minutes is gone. You get up and nothing's been done. The house looks the way it does. For me, a sermon has not been prepared. Nothing's been done that you can see. Now, it makes all the difference in the world with God. Because so often God in His providence does what He does according to the prayers of His people. It is that important. It is that important. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You for our time together. We thank You that we have the privilege of prayer, Lord. It is an amazing privilege. One of the privileges that our Lord won for us upon the cross. So, Lord, let us never belittle it. Let us never look down upon it. Let us never be apathetic toward it. Help us to love to come to You in prayer. Let it be the delight of our souls to have the truth of the Word of God come into our minds and into our hearts, the Holy Spirit to apply it to our lives, and we in turn see how we need You to help us in so many ways, and therein comes the flood of prayer that goes back to You. We thank You that we can pray to You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.